Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ the Life message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. Have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus and ask it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages, the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, and we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those who are listening, hey, why don't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you once again for this blessed day that you have blessed us to once again assemble together in your name. Lord, we dare not enter this message or this study without you, so we extend the invitation to your spirit to be with us as we go on this journey. Father, you know what we need to hear. You know what we need to understand. You know what we need to have revealed unto us. And dear Lord, fulfill all that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For we know that your spirit has a purpose within the lives of your people. And I pray that you will help your people to allow that purpose to be accomplished. So, Lord God, we just thank you, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to give some more information. I had told you guys I was going to do this, go back to doing this. I did it one time before, and I stopped, and I'm going to go back to doing it. I give y'all the email address to contact us if you want, you know, about getting copy of the messages and things of that nature. And one time before, I used to also give you guys phone number and address. Well, like I told you, I was going to go back to doing that, and so that's what I'm going to do. So the address that you can write to is 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. The phone number is 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And the other phone number, if you don't get no one there, is area code 816-252-2343. That's area code 816-252-2343. And the single messages are 75 cents per dozen, okay? Now, I know some of you say, oh, we knew it. Some money. Listen, people, you know, it costs money to get things printed off. I'm not giving you this to, you know, trying to get money out of you. But we do have to understand the place of money in the day, because if you got printing machines and copy machines and stuff, you know, it takes money to use them, to run them, to even get them. So, you know, let's not go there at the point where, because you hear this, and I do understand there are many ministers, many people coming on TV, just begging for money, and you can definitely pick up the damn money hungry. And I understand that. But however, everyone is not like that. So when I tell you these prices on these single messages, don't think that this is all about a money hunt. No, you know, to print these messages off, to keep things going, it costs money. Okay? So we got to understand that. So having said all of that, today, the title of the message today is Voice of the Martyrs, Leaving the Place of Hatred. Voice of the Martyrs, Leaving the Place of Hatred. Now, I've shared with you guys before on some broadcasts before that from time to time I read to you testimony of stories of Christians in other countries and what they're going through. Now, some of you in listening to this, you may say, man, you know what? Brother Nate, I don't mean no harm. I just get tired of you reading to me about the stuff that be happening over there. I don't want to hear that. And then some of you may say, it's scaring me. I want you to understand why I do this. Number one, it's not for the purpose of scaring anyone, okay? Hallelujah. Number two, we must understand that, and especially here in the U.S., now I know some of you here in the U.S. may get offended about what I say, and you may have in the past, but I got to be real with it. Here in the U.S., we're spoiled, and I mean spoiled to a degree. I'm not saying that we have never went through anything over here. If I were to say that to you, then I'm definitely big time lying. But we haven't went through the type of higher level persecution yet, like many Christians have in other countries. Now, let's be real. You got to be honest about that. Some of y'all, some of the stories that if y'all listen to the broadcast that I read or to you, some of the testimonial stories that people are having to people in other countries, you got to admit, I'm talking about for the faith now. You got to admit, where has that been recorded here in the U.S.? Huh? Where has it been recorded people getting beheaded and killed for the faith, you know, as constant as is happening to Christians in other countries? We got Christians in other countries, people, that you have to sneak Bibles to. See, right now in the United States, I can walk around with the Bible. In fact, I can walk outside of my house now, walk down the side of the street with my Bible in the hand, in the open. I can walk down the street and be reading it. And I don't have to worry about it for now. And you keep hearing me hear this statement, say this statement for now, because I'm also in giving you these testimonies, helping many to get prepared. Now, for now, I could go outside, you know, walk and read my Bible and open, and don't have worry about having to hear a car slam on brakes and a policeman jump out and start knocking me side the head, okay? Or not to have to worry about any kind of groups living in the town here that hate the Christians so bad that they're killing Christians and getting away with it. I notice I said for now. Plus, I'm trying to get many of God's people awakened to why God has been pressing on us to get ready and get prepared. Now, getting ready, getting prepared comes across two things, spiritual and natural. And there's the natural part where God tells us to provide ourselves with food from the soil of the ground, okay? That's the natural part, and getting things stored up and getting ready. That's the natural part. But the spiritual part is getting closer in the place with God. More study time, more prayer time, more devoted time to him that we may be able to stand when we are faced with evil. Because, see, people, understand it or not, Christian, even as a Christian, you're going to be faced with evil. You're going to be threatened, okay, whether verbally or physically or whether both. Now, in many of the other countries, many of our brothers and sisters are facing both of them with the highest level of intensity. You understand what I'm saying? So this is why you hear me from time to time read of these testimonies of Christians in other places and what they're going through, okay? Plus, it should make your heart reach out to them in prayer, excuse me, and perhaps in sowing seed to true organizations that's trying to help them out. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the purpose of why you hear Brother Nate from time to time read these testimony of these things that Christians have been going through in other countries. Amen? Now, I know there are some Christians here in this country who have said, it's not going to get like that over here. Well, my question is, why do you say that? And I understand one reason why they said, because, see, a lot of stuff that's going on in other countries, the United States is not used to this. And plus, the United States still have this thought like every country's scared of it. Now, at one point, most of the many of the countries did fear the U.S., but if you ever notice over the news for the past, I don't know, 15, 20 years, you notice that even small countries are not scared of the United States no more. Because they were just like with Israel in the days of old. When Israel turned away from God, the other nations kind of knew it. They weren't afraid of Israel. But then if Israel was keeping the commandments of God, they was afraid of Israel. They said, oh, no, they God, you know, behind him, you know. Amen. So this is why I read this. Now, I want to read to you, once again, the title of this is The Voice of the Martyrs, leaving the place of hatred. And I want to pronounce the names in this testimony here the best way I can, and I pray that, you know, anyone forgive me if I don't pronounce these names right, because sometimes it is a challenge to pronounce these names. And I don't say that from being funny or cute or something like that. I'm just being honest with you. Now, leaving the place of hatred. In December 2009, Rahila and her husband, Abdullahi, moved their family of nearly 500 miles to the south from Niger to Nigeria. Abdullahi's father had lived in Kaduna State, Nigeria, until his recent death, and Abdullahi wanted to continue working his father's land. Because I grew up in Niger, moving from here to Nigeria was difficult, Rahila said. I did it because this man was my husband, and we have children, so there's no problem. When Abdullahi's older brother, Umaru, learned of Abdullahi's return to Niger, he came to visit his brother. But their reunion was not a happy one. Umaru grew angry when he learned, now listen to this, that Abdullahi and his family had become Christians. Do you hear that? As a Muslim, Umaru couldn't tolerate his younger brother attending church 5 days a week. His older brother would go out anytime we went to church and start insulting the whole family because we were going to Jesus. Rahila recalled, Umaru's hatred toward his Christian brother continued to simmer over the next 10 years. Okay, now, so Rahila and Abdullahi moved to Nigeria, from Niger to Nigeria, where Abdullahi was, I guess you could say, was really from. And he comes across his brother Umaru, and Umaru is angry at him when he found out he'd become a Christian. Yeah. Not angry at him because, hey, I felt like you shouldn't have left Nigeria. You know, not because of that. Or angry at him like I felt like you should have kept working the land and shouldn't have left. No, not because of that. But because he became a Christian. And when you read Matthew 10, remember what it says, that Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 35 to 36, the Lord Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Mother-law against daughter-law, father against son. And he said, and it was, the time will come when a man's foes will be dead of his own household. Because of what? Because in dealing with Jesus. Now, I know some of y'all listening to this, you ain't came across that point yet. But the Lord wants you to prepare because you're going to. And this is not Brother Nate trying to speak a curse over your life. This is just the truth of what Jesus said, that where you're heading to when you're claiming to accept him. Because you're going to have family members who are going to literally hate you. And you're going to be sitting there trying to rack your brain. What did I do to him? What did I say to him and all that? Well, you wouldn't have been have done nothing. The only thing you had to do is sit and listen to them talk and listen to what they talk about. You think you missed the goody two shoes now because you're a Christian and all that? And you'd be like, I never said that to you, I would. But see, now you are finding out where they're coming from, okay? I'm telling you, people, you know, you got people, when they hear you're a Christian, they think, oh, that's just easy street. You're supposed to be dumb and stupid and get beaten over and ran and knocked over and get stepped over and, oh, being a Christian ain't really nothing. Well, that's what you think. And people that talk like that, I know definitely 110% you don't know what you're talking about. The greatest man I respect is the one that walks as a believer, okay? Some of you guys that claim to be so tough, I give you a day to walk as a true believer. You wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it because you already be ready to kill somebody, or you'll be already to tell God, God, you ain't doing, you left me. You'll be ready to do that before even half the day go by, okay? Hallelujah. So Abdullahi, his wife, Rahila, okay, they go back to Niger. Abdullahi come across his brother Umaru, and they're, you know, reuniting You would think, hey, brother, hey, good to see you. Man, miss you and all that stuff. No, when they got reunited and Yamaru found out he was a Christian, he's now angry. And then now he starts to lash out the pastor. Okay? Every time they go to church, he starts insulting them. Yeah. Why? Because he was a Christian. You understand that? It wasn't about him, oh, man, now, dude, how would you leave for, buddy? Little brother, what you go for? Why you stay here working on the land? No, it wasn't that. And he was found out that they were Christian. Now, Abdullahi, the Rahila, felt increasingly unsafe around Yamaru. That's bad when you feel unsafe around your own family. It says, who visited the farm often. Rahila found his practice of folk Islam mixed with, get this, witchcraft. Especially meeting Yamaru, believed he could call on spirits to curse others with sickness or even death. I discovered this man had no fear of God in him, Rahila said. And somebody like that might do anything. Abdullahi had once followed the same syncretic folk Islam practice by his brother. But after leaving Nigeria to work in Niger, he heard the gospel and started going to church where he met Rahila. Now, Rahila talks about her brother-in-law. Not only was he Islamic, but he was into witchcraft. You hear that? And she said she saw he had no fear of God in him. Now, I want to say that as I stop there for a minute to those of you Christians, that it really baffles me how when someone bring up witchcraft, you're so quick to say, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some help by saying this one thing right quick to you. Do you know the devil now, he say God, the devil. Do you know that the devil don't care whether you believe in witchcraft or not? What you just doing, you just helping them to do stuff to you. And see, we use the line and say, well, can't nobody curse what God has blessed. I understand to a degree what people were saying is saying on that, but we got to give the other side of that. If you are in wrong standing, you open up to be cursed. I say that again. If you're not standing, if a spell is being sent to a place in your life where it's sin that opens the door to it, it can have a part in you, okay? See, we don't talk about that. I mean, in the Christian church, we don't talk. We got a few Christian churches that would go to that level to explain it to people. We've got many Christian churches, they won't even talk about that. And they think because you're talking about, well, we don't need to talk about that because Jesus handled everything. Well, he did handle it. But in order for us to become active in our lives, for that thing to happen, there's a role we play, okay? So Abdullahi was once an Islam. Now he become a Christian. His wife, Rahila, just letting him know, say, hey, he believed in that same stuff at one time. See, when you come from darkness and go to light, you know, Satan already hated you for you did it, but he is now furious with you. This is why when you get people to become Christians, the next thing you know, you got to teach them the word of God so they can be rooted and grounded, because Satan is going to come at them extremely hard because he is very furious that they left darkness. You understand that? And so Abdullahi, when he went from Nigeria to Niger, and Niger is the place where he heard the gospel, which converted or transformed his heart to Christ. And so now he's going back to the place where he once practiced Islam. Okay? And see, many of you are going back to the place where you used to practice or do stuff that was not of God. And see, many times we have to really be thinking that when you're going back to that place, everyone that is in that place ain't going to be receptive of you. So you need to prepare the spirit in case you have to go back to those places to do so. And I think that many times, you know, we don't take that into consideration, okay? We don't take it into consideration. Now, it goes on to say, as Abdullahi, his family continued to attend church in Nigeria, Yamaru's insults and curses grew more troubling. It started to increase, people. One day, Yamaru wrote down some verses from the Quran. I know some of y'all Islamists don't want to hear this, but this is true. He wrote down some verses from the Quran that called for Allah's judgment and then buried the pieces of paper in the ground, intending to curse the land that Abdullah was from. When nothing happened, Yamaru challenged his brother's legal claim to their father's land because of Abdullah's Christian faith. And when Yamaru subsequently learned that Abdullah had spoken with local authorities about his right to the land, he told his younger brother that he would kill him, for trying to take what belonged to him. You see that? So his own brother, by blood, went to try to curse the ground that he was from. And see, nothing happened. So Abdullah was standing in right standing with the Lord. So therefore, now the curse couldn't take its effect on him. Now, if Abdullah had some open door in his life, that then the curse may have taken some effect, but God had protected him because Abdullah is standing in the place with the Lord, okay? And so when that didn't work, and Abdullah talked to the local authorities about his right to the land, okay? Because Yamaru is upset. He didn't want his brother to have the land because of his Christian faith. You get that? And you're going to have people want to deny you things because you're a Christian. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why the Lord said, get ready. You're going to have people going to, and get this, family folks. Ain't going to be just the people outside and people you just associate with or some friends. It's going to be family folks. We ain't going to want you to have nothing because you're a Christian. Not because you're a man or a woman. Or not even because you married a certain person, but because you're a Christian. Because, see, what God wants you to understand is the number one thing that's going to be where you'll be persecuted for is because of your accepting Christ and standing in Christ. You understand that? And so the older brother tells the brother, says, I kill you. Seeing a guy like that, see, it's hatred, people. It's hatred now. Some of you, like I said, get ready. And don't be overtaken with misery because some family folks are going to tell you that. And you're going to be shocked of them saying that to you. Oh, no, not cousin Benny, man. We grew up together like close brothers. Threw rocks together in the war. Come on. Cousin Benny, you telling me you'll kill me? And you're going to see it, cousin Benny's eyes, he mean it. And see, some Christians won't be able to take that because they like, man, me and cousin Benny were close, man. I just can't take cousin Benny, man. That's my guy. Oh, man, what am I going to do? People, I'm telling you, this is serious. Very serious. Okay. He goes on to say, one evening in September 2019, on the night before the brothers were scheduled to hear a judgment on the land rights, Abdullah and his family were gathered around a fire on the farm. And around 8 p.m., Yamaru walked up to the fire, pulled a small pouch from his pocket. He then took a pinch of powder from the pouch, threw it into the fire, and immediately backed away. Still standing by the flames, Abdullah inhaled a puff of smoke caused by the powder and suddenly collapsed to the ground. Then Yamaru pulled out another pouch, thought to have been an antidote to the poisonous powder he had just used, and looked at his brother as he struggled to breathe. You know what happened to you? Yamaru told Abdullah, I can raise you up. Okay, now he really got lifted up in pride. He said, I can raise you up. Hallelujah. And it says, Instead of requesting his brother's help, however, Abdullah said, now listen to this, I forgive all that you have done. Wow. Fear for Abdullah's life, Rahila and her children knelt beside him and prayed. Rahila then pleaded with Yamaru to save her husband's life. But instead of helping his brother, Yamaru challenged Rahila to heal him herself. Wow. If you are able to raise him up, and go and raise him up, he told her. Now, Abdullah and his wife and kids is by the fire. His older brother, the brother of hatred, comes up and throws this particular powder in the fire, and it caused a smoke to come up to where Abdullah breathed it, and it was poisonous. He hits the ground. His wife and kids around him. His wife pleads to, and say he had another pouch, what was thought to be the antidote for that, too. And guess what? He wouldn't do it. He hated his brother so much that he was willing to kill him and even watch him suffer in death. People, you better hear me on this. This thing is serious. And God wants you to prepare for this. But notice what the younger brother said. He said, I forgive you for all you have done. Now, some of y'all listening that said, man, he crazy. I would have told him off and said what kind of brother he ain't and all that. But you know, the Lord told us in the word of God to forgive those of their trespasses. Now, is it a challenge on that area? It sure is, people. I'm not here to tell you that everything is easy, but here's the thing I'm going to tell you about that. Forgiveness, not only, it also, for the bigger part, it helps you. Because when we don't forgive, we continue to carry this anger toward this person. And sooner or later, that anger manifests in us that it does something to us. See, this is what people don't understand. They think that the forgiving is letting the person that did the offending off the hook. It doesn't. It actually helps you even the more. So while he's dying, while Abdullah is dying, he's telling his older brother, he said, I forgive you for all that you have done. And the wife is pleading to her brother-in-law, say, hey, raise my husband up, hey, you know. And he was like, raise him up yourself. That's how it gotten people. This is why the Lord is warning you to get ready in the spirit, because you're going to have close friends, family members who's going to take on that same hatred like Yamaru. I'm talking about the ones that you were real close to growing up, people that's with family, okay? It's going to do this stuff towards you. And this is why Jesus says, when you read through the word of God, who do you know, who did Jesus have stressed to you that he want you to let be number one in your life? And this is why he does this, because if people is number one in our lives, then we will lead Jesus to satisfy them. Just imagine if Abdullah's older brother was number one to him in his life. Then when the Yamaru had done it, he would have said, listen, Yamaru, I hate for hurting you and you know, becoming a Christian. Hey, I love you. Listen, I'm going to renounce this Christian faith and I'm coming back. Then, of course, Yamaru would have thrown an antidote out there and pick him up and said, my brother, and hugged him and everything. But see, Abdullah would have forsaken Jesus. See, this is why Satan uses man in persecution, because the number one thing he wants you to do is renounce Christ. Point blank, plain and simple. He wants you to renounce Jesus. Amen. And he don't want to just damage your property or your land or cause a leg or arm on you to be broken. He wants your complete worship and turn away from Christ. Amen. Now, It says, Rahila ran through the village, frantically asking people to help her take her husband to the hospital. When she returned, Yamaru said, nobody should come. He is already dead. Nothing can help. And Rahila and her children stood near Abdullah's body, crying and overcome by grief. Yamaru made one last threat. And this is what he said. He said, you see, the body of the tree has died. He said, next, I will cut the branches one after one. Wow. You know, the Lord told us in Matthew 10, fear not him that can kill the body, but him that can cast the body and soul into hell. Now, he made the threat, and he said, see, the tree has died. He said, I'll cut off the branches. Talking about all that's connected to him. That's her and the children. Okay. Amen. And see, there's some things that God would allow, because see, this power, the poison's power, had its way to a point where it killed Abdullah. Okay. And now the man threatens his wife and his kids. My Lord. Could you imagine having to go through that? Women of God, if you listen, could you imagine that? You're looking at your husband die like that. And now the person that did it has no heart, quote, no soul, turns to you and say, I'll do you and the kids the same way. I will kill them. And this is supposed to be a family. Lord, have mercy. Help Rahila. Now, it goes on to say, fearing that Yamaru would come after her children, Rahila sought a way to escape after telling her story to a Christian woman from Niger who was in Nigeria on business. The woman paid to have a taxi take Rahila and her children back to Niger. Yamaru was never charged. Now, listen to this. Yamaru was never charged with murder. And no one in the village, get this, seemed to care that Abdullah had died. Wow. Wow. Tell you what kind of village she was in. In her suffering and loss, Rahila decided to turn everything over to God. I forgave Yamaru before I left, she said. Rahila now lives with her father and his wife, whom he married after the death of Rahila's mother. Rahila and her children have received help not only from Rahila's father, but also from neighbors and her local church family. In addition, frontline workers are helping Rahila with living expenses, her children's school fees, and vocational training. It is really by the grace of God, Rahila said, of the support she has received. Rahila remembered Abdullah as a loving father who gave everything he had to his children. She said that whenever they face challenges in life, he told them to take heart and trust that God was still in control. He was somebody who believed in the word of God and was always reading and encouraging the children and me to read more and to pray more, she recalled. Today, Rahila continues to share her love for God's word with her children. People should keep on praying for the faith of these children and myself, she said, so that we can keep on growing in the faith. Do you hear that? This is not a woman that turned bitter to God. See, when we come through these trials, one or two things going to happen. Either we're going to go closer to God or we're going to turn bitter against God. Either or. Yamaru, the older brothers, was never charged. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the Bible, verses, I think there's 1 and 2. I know verse 1. It said that God is the judge, capital J, of the quick and dead. Quick means living. And that word quick and dead not only refers to the natural, but the spiritual. So that means he's the judge of everyone. Now, Yamaru, according to man's standard, got away from being judged. Okay? But the word of God tells us that he would not get away from being judged of God. Because, see, some of you, I guarantee you, by hearing this story, you'll start thinking, man, he got away with that. Ain't nothing going to happen to him. And then you up there talking about forgiving him. Ain't nothing going to happen. Wait a minute. Understand this. If your morrow doesn't accept the Lord and he died in his sins, I promise you, he going to pay for that, what he did. Let me tell you something, people. Understand this. From even reading the word of God on the subject. What a person will suffer in hell would make suffering on earth look like a cakewalk. I'm going to say it again. What a person will suffer in hell would make suffering on earth a cakewalk. Wow. When you have to pay for your sins in hell, let me tell you something. If you had any problems on earth, you would embrace it quicker than you would hell. I'm just laying the line down for you people. You would embrace the problems you have here on earth. So your morrow ain't, quote, getting away with it. He has to answer, and he will. He's not answering to man's system, yeah. See, that's why I don't put my total trust in man's judgment system. Man's judgment system got flaws from the top to the bottom. In man's judgment system, you could be part of an organization and get off scot-free. Amen. You could be part of a group that hate another group. Get off scot-free. In man's organization, if you got money, you can get off scot-free. So that's why I don't put all my trust in the judgment system of man. I put my trust in the judgment system of God. Okay? Total trust, I put it in there. So, Yamaru, though it look like he's going to get away with that, Brother Nate's here to tell you, he won't. He think he is, but he won't. Because, see, the Lord is not going to let his children suffer because of their faith in him and not answer back with judgment. He ain't that type of God. You getting beat down for him and all that, and he not take vengeance? Because God's a vengeance is mine, as we said. God take vengeance on somebody, it'll make you go, oh, my goodness, Lord, have mercy on. So God take vengeance on it. Buddy, he can have all the Islamists in the world back at him, and they ain't going to be able to save him. Hallelujah. I am grateful for this opportunity to go into this message with you all listening today. And like I said, it is not my purpose to scare you. Because I said, some of you is Christian. I said, hey, brother, I really wish you quit reading your stories to me. It's not making me come closer to Christ. Well, I'm reading it as testimonies, hoping that you would come closer to Christ, that you would see that we have to follow Christ's orders to be successful in what we're going to face. Because people hear me. You might say, well, I'm already facing things. And you might be. But guess what? You ain't at the highest level yet. Listen, one time, and I said, shared this with you guys before, I was at a place where I was tested where that it was a stronger testing than I've ever encountered. And people, I'm going to be honest with you. I almost feel like I was finna have a heart attack. I really did. And after that, when I thought about it was kind of embarrassing to me. Because, and seeing the same thing, God was letting me see something. He let me see, like, you're not ready like you think. You're not ready like you think. And I was like, Lord, I see that. And so after praying, things like that, God handled the situation. But I was just looking at how, what great effect it had on me. I mean, I actually literally was thinking I was having a heart attack. Okay. And it's like at that moment that where I feel like any moment I'm going to have a stroke and fall. But see, God kept me. Lord Jesus. Now, too, another thing about this story I read to you guys is looking at it, that, you know, Abdullahi left Nigeria, went to Niger. Then he'll come back to Nigeria. Well, it could have been, too, if you look at it another way. You know, it didn't say anything about he asked the Lord about going. And it could have been possibly that wasn't his time to go, but he went on not asking the Lord. And here's the thing, too. We do have to address the Lord in our travelings and where we go, especially when you're leaving a place from where you was in darkness. Now you're in light, but now you can go back to that place, literally speaking, which is also a place of darkness. Well, you went back to. So you definitely need to talk to the Lord and be prepared on that. Glory be to God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of truth today. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're doing. And, dear Lord, I pray that you would water the seed that I've sown, that it may bring forth the increase. And Lord, I just give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Elijah Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.